When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The choice of a lawyer is important and shouldn't be based on an ad.
After a serious car accident, people have two questions. Why me? And what now? Well, no one knows why you, but I'm Terry Crouppen, and my law firm, Brown & Crouppen, sure can help with the what now. Car repairs, medical bills, lost wages, pain and suffering. We're Brown & Crouppen, and we've got all those answers. All you have to do is call. 222-2222.
Tim McKernan here for Design Air Heating and Cooling. They are proud to announce their 2020 Train Special, the same system they're installing in my home. This state-of-the-art system includes a 16 SEER rated air conditioner and a variable speed furnace to remove humidity, balance out temperature differences, and make your home more comfortable. Available with financing terms you can't beat. For more information, contact the official HVAC company of the morning after, Design Air Heating and Cooling, at designair.net.
Rise and shine, St. Louis. It's the Ryan Kelly Morning After with Tim McKernan and Doug Vaughn on 590 The Fan
and
InsideSTL.com.
7:07 in St. Louis. It's Ryan Kelly Morning After, 590 The Fan, KFNS, and InsideSTL. Tim McKernan, Doug Vaughn with you on the radio program. Matt Rocchio on the ones and twos. Gangster Pete Nagy in a room right behind Doug. He can't see. He has to have the neck of an owl.
Oh, yeah. I can't see him at all. I don't know if he's back there. I assume that he is.
Yeah, I see Gangster Pete.
Hello, Pete.
Is Iggy in there?
What's up, Doug? Hey. Iggy's here.
All right.
Hello, Iggy.
Hello, Iggy.
Morning.
Oh, that didn't sound very friendly.
Morning.
Everything okay?
Groovy.
All right.
One word answers. It's like, yeah. Troy Gloss in 2008, the spring training table.
Yeah, he wasn't much interested in talking.
Right.
He just wasn't. I guess his prerogative, maybe.
Hey, Doug, your Kansas City Chiefs are starting the NFL season tonight. How's about you give them a little nip slip tonight at the 6 p.m. broadcast to inspire the team? That's from the Darden Prairie Dog.
I'm not going to do that.
Good morning.
Atlanta?
Oh, hello.
Gabby. That was Gabby. Gabby keeps changing her hair like every other day. I'm worried about her. She was locked out of her apartment in New York. See that?
No, I missed that.
What's going on with her? Plowhawk's been concerned about her for a while.
Why did she get locked out?
Why does anybody get locked out?
Forgot their key.
Yeah.
It's not like she didn't pay the rent or anything. She got thrown out.
Yeah, somebody did.
I got locked out of my bathroom last night and figured out that my mailbox key opens the bathroom door.
Boy, a couple of major reveals in a matter of seconds.
Here's another one. I had a big old boot put on my car in the Channel 4 parking lot last night.
Whoa!
I accidentally parked one spot over from where I was supposed to park. $50 to get that taken off my car.
Who booted you, bro?
The building.
I accidentally parked in Julius Hunter's spot one time as, you know, a 23-year-old, and he was, you know, on the Mount Rushmore of St. Louis news anchors.
Yeah.
It didn't play well.
I think so.
Hell, you didn't even have a parking spot in the garage, right?
No,
at that time.
I didn't then. No, but it was mostly empty when I pulled in, and I absentmindedly parked one spot over from where I'm supposed to park. I don't know why. I guess I had my mind on something else. And they booted it, $50 to get it taken.
That's what happens when you start thinking about show prep too early.
You think that's what it was?
No, that's what it was.
I don't know. I just know I'm not going to be much good to you today.
There was nothing last night.
Oh, there was nothing. You tell that to Jordan Yamamoto.
Okay.
He gave up 12 runs in 2 2/3 innings of relief for the Marlins. The Marlins gave up 29 runs. Their pitching staff is hurting this morning. And when the Marlins pitching staff hurts, I hurt a little bit.
Southside Siemens starting pitching took a hit because the starting pitcher for the Marlins, Pablo Lopez, is a proud member of the Southside Siemen.
Yeah, I don't care because there's no money involved in this league, but I do it just to kind of stay busy and keep up with baseball. I did drop Adam Duvall on Monday and picked up a couple of pitchers.
And he's had 3 home runs twice in the last week.
That's correct.
Yeah, it's helped me last week, not this week.
He's a good player. And he really is a good player who doesn't oftentimes get a chance to play.
What outfield would you there have, the Cardinals or the Braves?
Braves.
Okay. 855-282-8255. Text in or even call in.
I saw even Jed Jerko had two home runs yesterday. He's got seven. That's two more than any Cardinal players have. Jerko, they just gave Jed Jerko.
Randy Arozarena has four home runs, and he's like played a game and a half.
Yeah. You think there's almost two outfields worth of players that the Cardinals have traded away and didn't get a whole lot back between Pham and Grichik and Piscotty and Mercado and Arozarena.
At least Ozuna sucks this year.
No. No, he's having a huge... He's got 13 home runs, doesn't he?
Yeah, I think close to 40 RBIs, too.
The Cardinals have been very good in recent years in identifying pitchers, finding pitchers, like Michaelis and KK, and developing young pitchers that throw real hard. They've been good at that, but boy, they have sure missed out on a lot of position players. I mean, a lot of them.
Guys, it's almost like Iggy has bad decision-making skills. Thanks, Nate in Tallahassee. Boy, he waited till the show started to... Start firing his shots.
Based on what? Oh, the Duvall.
The Adam Duvall. Pick?
Oh. Yeah, it wasn't a good move. But you guys either home run or nothing. And he's been struggling a little bit, so I said I need some pitching.
He had some big years with the Reds.
Yeah, he did.
And then he had a year or two where he even got sent to minors for a while. But he's a good player. He's got a great arm, good defensive outfielder, hits for power. Underrated player.
Cute.
I don't really know how cute he is. I wasn't really judging him on this cuteness factor.
Okay. Sounds like you're a little off today.
Well.
855-282-8255 is how you can call in and hold Doug accountable, or you can text in. Coming up on our GFI Digital Captain's Log, we have our Design Air Heating and Cooling email of the day, and we're going to make it a press conference Thursday in which the listeners can call in and talk about anything. I mean, what a deal. How many radio shows offer that?
Well, any radio station that doesn't have any content will throw open the phone lines, say, it's your show today. You know, sure, we could do a great
show.
Shot
at Francesa.
But we're not going to. Today it's your show.
Matt, can I put in a request on the fly? This is the great Matt Rocchio, who's just rubbing his hands incessantly. The Funhouse account, at Back After This, posted two nights ago four eulogies Mike Francesa did on the air. And I got to tell you something, Doug. When I pass, if he's still around, I wouldn't mind him handling my eulogy, because he has a way to capture the moment and the essence of the person who has just passed.
Does he?
He does. And I feel like it's something that not a lot of people possess.
He did one recently that
he did.
Caught your ear?
Yeah. I mean, we've heard one before, and that's a classic, but there are, I think, two or three others.
The best part is about during all these eulogies, there's a chyron on the bottom that says, we're taking your calls with the phone number.
Of course, because that's what he did for 20 years.
All right. I know the Seaver one, he made a point to say Sandy Koufax was the better pitcher.
Eddie in Hoboken, what's up, Eddie?
Hey, what's up, Mike?
What's happening?
Hey, Mike, Stan Lee died today. Did you ever meet the guy? What do you think of him?
Stan Lee?
Yeah, Stan Lee.
I don't know who he is. Don't know who he is, no.
Jesus.
Who is he?
They playing art drops?
Who is Stan Lee?
He was one of the creators of Marvel Comics.
Oh, who cares? And that happened today when I was walking down the hall at 10 to 3 and I heard Frank Robinson died. Because that means you open the show with Frank Robinson dying. Frank Robinson was, whether you liked him or not, and I couldn't stand him. But
but the shocking news that Tim Russell dropped dead today at the age of 58. At the Washington Bureau of NBC in Washington, D.C.
Horace Clark was the symbol of the Yankees' fall from grace post-1964. He was mediocre, just like the Yankees were, 65 through 74. Rest in peace.
God, he was mediocre. Touching. I'm sure his family appreciated that.
Now, I'm sure, Doug, in your career... And in my career, when anchoring sportscasts, we have the unfortunate responsibility of announcing to audiences someone has passed away. However, maybe you've been more vivid with it. You'd say Jack Buck has passed away. Died at the age of Tim Russert dropped dead.
It's a little harsh. I mean, it may be true. It is true that Horace Clark was a mediocre major league player. It is true, but it's not really what you say upon his passing. It's, I mean, he still made it. He was still a good man, I assume.
We had a, I won't give the name, but we had a program director who thought he was connected to everybody and called us in one day and said, all right, just got some information. You guys, I need you to start putting together a eulogy and a best of clips from about Stan Musial. I said, really? Yeah, I got some word. I said, okay, I haven't heard anything. And I heard he was sick. So we put all these things together. And we're actually, he wanted us to call people and talk about Stan. I said, well, he's not dead. I can't. Hey, you want to talk about Stan in case he dies?
No, he can't do that.
He lived for like 10 more years.
Yeah, you can't do interviews. You can't do the obituary interviews.
It was
before
awful.
The, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Can't do that.
I said, I can't do that.
No. No, no,
well,
no.
I'm telling you to do it. I said, no, I'm not calling people and saying, in case this happens.
Really? That surprise. Now, putting obituaries together while someone is alive is something that goes on.
Yeah.
I imagine that, you know, as we lay that out, people go, yeah, I guess that makes sense, because immediately when somebody passes, there is something ready to go.
Yeah, when it's, you know,
but
it's evident.
But, what you're saying is to call somebody in advance. That's bizarre.
Yeah, to get, like, just get some quotes about Stan. I said, I'm not doing that.
Guys, how will Sam Page's restrictions on youth sports affect Gus Tambell's tennis career? Thanks, that's Cal in Central Arkansas.
I think you're good to go with tennis. I don't think there's a lot of restrictions on the...
We can wait for Fungo to call in, although he was wanting to fight a listener last night at Filoni's.
Right. He was ready to put up his dukes.
So maybe he's not available this early after the scrap.
He could be recovering. Right. I don't know. I expect it was a real barn burner.
Why is it when Iggy speaks about a lady's fun bags, he says breast, singular, but we'll also address them as boobs, plural? Just listening and learning. Thanks. That's from the 618.
Maybe you don't hear the S when I say breast.
I guess that could be it.
Well, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Bother you?
No. No, not me. I know what that has to do with preparing obituaries.
I heard breast. What does that mean?
Right. You absolutely cannot call people and say, hey, if this guy dies, what would you say about him?
God. Can you imagine?
Yeah, that's really horrible.
It's different when something's, you know, right around the corner. You know, you heard something, or he's in the hospital or something. That's like when we were putting together this thing about Mark McGwire when he was going to break Maris's record. And he had, like, I don't know, what he had, like 20 games left or 30 games left, and he only had like 4 home runs, something like that. So we're putting together this thing. When he does it, we're going to be ready. I want to talk to Willie Mays. Biggest curmudgeon I've ever talked to. I feel like
Willie Mays was?
Yeah, I feel like Francesa here. That great home run hitter. Just biggest curmudgeon you've ever. This guy, he agreed to do it. I said, we'll just tape it, and when he breaks the record, he goes, you don't know he's going to break the record? I said, well, he only needs like 4 in 30 games. I'm pretty sure he's going to do it. Why do you even want to talk to me? I said, well, you said you'd talk to us. I got nothing to do with it. I go, but I told you we're just talking to great home run hitters about, you know, he's going to break a record that's been, you know, around for a while. And one of the questions I said, what is Mark and Sammy going through right now? Because when Roger was getting ready to break Babe Ruth's record, nobody wanted him to do it. They weren't coming to the games. His hair was falling out. People were bad-mouthing him because they didn't want to break Babe's record. You don't know that. That's hearsay. Well, it's not hearsay. It's pretty well documented that all happened. They wanted Mickey to break the record, not Roger. You don't know that. You're just making stuff up. No, I don't want to be part of this. Like, oh, my God. Mm. And Willie, thanks for joining us, buddy.
Thank you for talking
to
Willie Mays.
I want to slap your big butt.
No, I never did talk to Willie Mays. Hank Aaron, who was always a great gentleman.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes guys get old, and they do become a curmudgeon. 25-year-old Willie Mays would have played along with that interview just fine, I guess. And 85-year-old Willie Mays don't want anything to do with it.
Yeah, but I just don't know. I say, yeah, I'll do it, and then you sit there and bitch the whole time. I saw him get up and walk away from a card signing one time. He was just tired. I don't want to do this anymore. I'm done. There are like 100 people in line. He just got up and left.
Well, there are some people who think he was about the greatest player of all time.
He was up there.
Yeah.
He could do it all.
Mm-hmm.
You're welcome to participate in this press conference Thursday, and Pete is talking to callers right now, getting what they want to talk about. because we don't want to be duped.
Oh, yeah. We screen some of the calls.
This is just the Mike Lee women update.
Oh, okay.
Does he want to go on the air? I thought he was boycotting the show. I see him often, but he tells me he won't call in because he hates Iggy. But I never can understand why he hates Iggy.
Yeah, I don't know.
Do you know what the history is of this? Is this about Carly still?
No. Pete told me, and it's not something we can actually say on the air.
Huh.
And I don't remember this at all, but it's not something we can talk about.
What do we got, Gangster Pete? Ladies and gentlemen, Gangster
Mike, Mike just likes to get ready for his Friday call by calling in Thursday, making sure everything's okay. Oh, asked him if he wanted to come on today. He said no.
Pitch out. Nobody going.
All right.
Well, it's a tough loss for us.
That's for Lisa Ann when she's...
Yeah, Mike works the phones, that's for sure.
Lisa Ann told you to take the high road, Iggy.
I mean, how do I take the high road? I never see the guy.
Just be nice to him.
I don't see the guy.
I digress.
I don't talk to the guy. You answer the phone.
Guys, it sounds like Willie Mays might actually be Nate from Tallahassee. Thanks, that's hipster. Power goes out.
A little grumpy.
Yeah, but at least Willie had some talent.
Oh, gosh, yeah, he had some talent.
Unlike Nate.
Well, you get old and you're in pain and the body hurts and you don't have much patience for anything else and something rubs you the wrong way, you just tell people.
But then when I talked to Joe DiMaggio, we had a great conversation.
Really? He's the one who had the reputation of being
kind of
prickly.
Was the one that was being the, nobody could talk to him. Well, we had, now, he wouldn't let me tape it. He wouldn't do an interview. And I didn't, like an idiot, to this day, I said, why didn't I just run the tape? He wouldn't have known. We didn't have to play it, but at least I would have it.
Yeah.
And we talked like 30 minutes, Marilyn Monroe, baseball. And he goes, ah, for all I know, you're taping this now. I said, I wouldn't do that to you, Mr. DiMaggio. And then I got done with the phone. I said, why didn't I?
So he was telling you everything?
Yeah. I asked, I wanted to get him on for an interview.
Did you have a rapport with him, or you just
I had a home number for him in San Francisco.
How in the world did you get Joe DiMaggio's home phone number?
That was my guy, Rob Scolaro, WFAN.
Rob Scolaro.
Sent me a bunch of phone numbers as a up-and-coming producer. And I had like 40, 50 pages of phone numbers, and that's back when there were no cell phones. And I said, I want to get Joe DiMaggio on the air. So I was just lining up interviews for the next day, and I called him, and I don't do radio or phone interviews. He goes, really have nothing to say. And I said, okay. I said, I just thought because you're one of the greatest of all time, and I just thought it'd be great for the show. And he goes, no, he goes, you know, and baseball's not even the same anymore. And then when he started talking baseball, he goes, you know, back when I played and, you know, people talk about Maryland and I put flowers on her grave. And I, for like 30 minutes, I had a conversation with Joe DiMaggio. And I was in the back studio. I could very easily just hit the reel-to-reel and start a recording, but I didn't.
Oh, there's some ethics right there.
Right. I wonder why he would have cared if you recorded that.
Well, because
he probably thought he was going to make news with
everything.
He
just didn't want to do an interview. But we talked. We were just like talking off the air, having a conversation, and it just continued and continued. And I mean, it wasn't an ethic thing, team, because I wouldn't have played it, but I could have saved it for myself and just said, you know, I remember the time I talked to Joe DiMaggio. And then I could have just played it myself. And but I didn't. I was a youngster.
I think sometimes when the ex players start to get old, they kind of enjoy kind of getting back in the spotlight again, talking about their career and having those fond memories and kind of wanting people to remember who they were. Perhaps they reach an advanced age where they just don't care anymore and they just kind of want everybody to leave them alone.
Yeah, and DiMaggio wasn't like he wasn't a superstar. He was.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. But Ted Williams was another one that apparently nobody got along with.
The Splendid Splitter?
Yeah. Yeah, he was not terribly pleasant.
I had his home number in Florida and called him and he hung up on me. Lose this number and hung up.
Is that what he said?
Yeah.
Guys, I played the text you read yesterday that I sent in about my wife knowing that I text into the show and that her coworkers know who I am. And it did not go over very well. My wife had Steven, Maurice, and two other trainers from Orange Theory that I have never met before perform a prison gangbang fantasy on me as punishment. Joke's on her, though, as it was one of the best nights of my life. Good morning, Doug. That's from Sean Mahoney's Dedo.
Oh, man, we've had trouble with him. And he had some trouble last night, apparently.
That sounds like it had a great night.
Well, it doesn't sound that great to me.
Guys, I spoke with Tom Hank, Bill Gates, and Sinatra once. I didn't record it, but we spent hours on the phone. Thanks, that's from Dick Rhodes Gacker. Sounds like he's calling Iggy out on.
Yeah, he doesn't trust Iggy.
Joe DiMaggio. You have a problem with what I did?
Yankee Clipper.
No, he doesn't believe it.
Well, then you'd be wrong.
Guys, did Iggy just say he wishes he could have played with himself while listening to his interview with Joe DiMaggio? I didn't hear that part.
I didn't either. I didn't get that.
No, I think I said if I would have recorded it, at least I wouldn't have put it on the air, but at least I could have played it for myself. So there was a for myself and then a play with myself. There was a for myself.
Who was the worst interview, Willie Mays or Mia Khalifa? Thanks. That's from Hedonism Chuck.
Well, Mia Khalifa at least stayed on the line, right?
Well, so did Willie. I hung up on him.
You hung up on Willie.
You hung up on Willie.
I didn't hang up on him. I just said, yeah, we've had enough. You're not going to answer anything. When he got to the, you don't know that happened with Roger. That's hearsay. I said, no, it's pretty well documented in papers and books. And
did you ever see one of the last interviews Jerry Lewis did with that kid who came to his house and tried desperately to do an interview?
Yeah.
How angry and nasty he was. And unfortunately, that's kind of an image that sticks with you when you see, you know, somebody who's that famous for so long just treat people like dirt. It kind of sticks with you like, oh, is that the real guy?
And what was that about? It was weird. And it was really right before he passed, if memory serves.
Yeah, it sounded like some young guy trying to do just a lifetime story on Jerry Lewis, and he wasn't happy about it. I guess Jerry Lewis didn't think the kid was prepared or fully respected just what an icon that he was, and didn't like some of the questions and gave him nasty one-word answers. And the whole thing was really awkward.
And why would you have him over in the house, you know? I don't know. Right. You never know the circumstances.
And you think the video's not going to get out there somewhere?
I understand that.
Even if you're right or have a case, you're still going to look like a jerk. And boy, did he ever.
Did Iggy ask the Yankee Clipper about being cucked by Arthur Miller? That's from the hipster of Tower Grove South. Death of a Salesman?
No, I didn't. I know they were married, but did he get cucked?
Like, was there a cucking with Marilyn Monroe?
I thought they were divorced.
That'd be a difficult cucking.
What, to have Joe DiMaggio over there?
No, to have Arthur Miller steal Marilyn Monroe from you.
Is that what happened?
Isn't that what they're talking about?
Yeah, but I thought they had been divorced. I mean, I could be wrong.
Is Arthur Miller a good-looking guy?
No, old guy. But she felt safe with him.
She was married to Arthur Miller from 56 through 61.
That's about the time she died, wasn't it?
Yeah.
61 or 2.
She died right before Kennedy.
Yeah, August of 62. Brentwood. Not where he's a Hall of Fame, California. OJ.
She just lived in a little bungalow and no security. Doors were always open. She just was lonely.
Well, it was a different time, too.
You know, as if you knew that back then, and she's just lonely. It's Marilyn Monroe, probably best-looking woman alive at the time, and lived in a bungalow, no guards, just wanted to be with people. She was lonely. You know, some stranger walks in. Hey, babe, can I keep you company? You look lonely. Come on in, have a drink.
That happened?
It could have. If you'd have known about how lonely she was and she just liked talking to people. Like, she befriended that guy on the set one time, just became like lovers.
I don't think people had such sophisticated security systems back then as we do now. Or even much at all. I'm sure some people did. But I don't think the average Joe did. They weren't worried about every single person that walked down the street. What happened to us as a country?
The selfie.
I don't know if it was the selfie. But I mean, now you wouldn't dream about going to bed without locking all the doors, and locking your cars in the driveway, and constantly worried about security no matter where you are. I mean, what happened to us?
Selfie.
I don't think it was a selfie.
No, not the selfie. The selfie was, that's why people are leery about going out now. And used to be, you know, baseball players and that would walk to their cars in the parking lot and there'd be fans there asking for autographs and they would sign a few autographs and there's nobody hawking trying to get a picture with them. And
well, what was the turning point, you think, in the country where everybody became so concerned about their health, safety, and for good reason? I mean, what made us so aggressive?
I don't know. Maybe some of the assassinations, murders.
Maybe. I don't know. It's a big question, I know, but it was only like what, half a century ago, when things were just completely different.
Marilyn Monroe's daughter still alive, who was born in 1919, Bernice.
Oh, boy. 101? Close to it.
Yep. Let's see if we can get her on.
My dad would have been 100 in November.
All right.
Yeah.
How old is Marilyn Monroe in 1919?
Let's see. Oh, no, this is her sister.
Oh.
Yeah, that makes more sense. That makes more sense.
I didn't think she had any
Otherwise,
kids.
That would have been a...
Because she was young when she died.
Yeah, she's 36.
No.
Yeah, I don't think she had any kids, did she?
I don't know. I don't think so.
Was she ever with a woman?
I would think so. I would have to say yes.
Think so, really?
Information.
As much drugs as she took, she had to hook up with somebody at a party.
I don't know if that was a thing then. I feel like it started in 1986 on Showtime with Lady Chatterley's Lover.
I don't think so. I think that's when you thought it started, because that's when you saw it the first time.
How do you know? You weren't there. Me and John Bernstein.
I'm sure that's been going on for forever.
Hmm.
Maybe not with the movies to depict it.
Cleopatra?
Well, I don't know about her specifically.
I'm sure she
was. That book came out in 26.
What's that?
The book Lady Chatterley's Lover came out in 1926.
Oh, really? Yeah. Is that right?
That's when Marilyn Monroe was born, so maybe.
Oh.
I would think at some point with a few pills and a few cocktails that she's made out with women.
That's your fantasy anyway.
Yeah, I mean, that was back in those days when parties were swinging and...
There were swinger parties in the 50s?
Well, just the term swinging,
oh.
You know, like Sinatra used to use.
Again, parties have been swinging forever. It's just that sometimes you read about it, you see pictures, and you hear about it, and, you know, before cameras were in everybody's hands and the news was everywhere, it went on. It happened. You know, our generation wasn't the first one to discover a good time. Wild parties.
The roaring 20s.
Right. I go all the way back. I'm sure there was crazy times happening forever.
Like the founding fathers had orgies?
They probably did.
Right.
They probably right. did. Right. I mean, we didn't discover sex. Everybody's generation thinks that they are the ones who discovered the curse words, and they also discovered sex. Didn't happen before. Their parents never did it. Their grandparents, no way. 100 years ago, didn't happen.
Who do you think discovered sex?
855-282-8255.
Cavemen.
You think they...
Primitive man.
All right. You think they... How do they know that that's what they did?
Well, how do animals know?
And then when the woman got pregnant for the first time, didn't know what that was.
How do
think that was scary? What is this bump coming? What is happening here?
Well, they probably didn't have much of a thought like that any more than animals have a thought like that.
Just something came out for the first time. Didn't know what is a human being. What is this?
You think cavemen got cucked?
Probably so.
Really?
Yeah. You took too many belts on the head with a club. You're going to another dude.
The best documentary on that is 1 Million Years B.C. with Raquel Welch. I guess if you went to some of the cave scenes there, you might be able to see a Grog getting cucked by somebody.
Let's see. Speaking of 1950s era skanks, my grandma Tootie was quite the barmaid in WOPO, i.e. Washington Park, back in the day. And a lady of the Elks. By lady, I mean she took some rides on those antlers. Boy, did she. That's the recovering alcoholic from Belleville and Webster Groves.
Now they told him those stories about his grandmother?
Tootie.
I doubt it. But there's no doubt that there was wild things happening all through history. There's no doubt about that.
Doug, there's a rumor that Marilyn Monroe randomly banged Frank Vincent of Goodfellas and Sopranos fame when he was 20. Thanks. It's from the 314.
I don't think I know Frank Vincent.
You would absolutely recognize him from Goodfellas, Casino, Sopranos. I'll pull him up.
Okay.
See what he's doing.
Goodfellas, he was, go get your shine box.
Yeah. Mm-mm-mm.
Yeah, there are two or three of those actors that seem to appear in every mob movie that was made there.
Yeah, I think I looked it up. It was like, I think 30.
You recognize him?
Oh, yeah.
I think there were 38 people that were in Goodfellas that were also in The Sopranos.
Yeah.
Mike Lee has changed his line. He would like to talk. I guess he has Marilyn Monroe thoughts or Tootie thoughts. Doesn't... Yes, Mike.
Hello, Mike.
Mike.
Hi.
Hi.
How's the guy doing?
Oh, we're doing great. How are you?
Past Saturday, I went to golf with Jay. This girl in love with me, and she tells clearly that she loved me.
You saw a girl on the golf course who felt... Uh-oh, what happened? I just heard something.
She said she loved with me.
Is she?
She was out there playing.
Huh?
Was she the beverage cart girl? Because that's kind of their modus operandi, is to make them feel like, you know, every golfer that might be, you know, hanging out in the 19th hole afterwards.
You could ask Claire. Go look at the picture. She tell Claire that she's in love with me.
Doug, pull up the picture. Well, do you see
it? I don't have the picture.
It's on fan page.
Okay, well, that's great news for you, Mike. I'm glad that you're happy about this.
And past Monday, I saw you, Tim.
Well, I did see you out at the golf course, Doug. I saw Cletus.
Did you?
Guy. And Mike and the Florida Flower.
And somebody saw me over there and said, hi, Mike. They know who I am.
Yeah, well, that's good. That's good.
You're famous, bro.
Anywhere I go. Right now, I could get girls just like that.
Really? Is it happening for you?
Well, that girl's the one I got right now.
Yeah.
She is hot.
Well, I'm sure she's a beautiful young girl. I'm sure she is. Yeah.
Yeah, go to the fan page. Look at that.
Doug, go to the fan page. Yeah.
Okay.
Hey, Tim, I go to the golf every day with you over there. You know that, Tim?
You go to the golf course with me every day?
No, I go that one sometime over there.
Yeah, no, I know. I've seen you there a number of times with Guy.
And I go and a lot where Jay is on Saturday.
Gateway.
Yeah, I like that one the best.
Doug, it's a great course. If you hit the ball properly, you're going to pull a pelt out of the ground.
I like that one the best because that girl loved me over there. Worked there.
Beverage cart
okay.
girl?
Yeah. Well, that's good.
I could go just like that.
Yeah.
I kind of want to, with regard to the beverage cart girl modus operandi, I just want to caution you, because it seems like you've fallen for an adult film star and a beverage cart girl, and in both cases, their goal psychologically is to make you think that they may be more interested than they actually are. Different industries, same modus operandi.
Yeah.
I like a lot where Jay is right now.
You like that golf course?
Yeah, it's a great track. If you hit the ball before you hit the ground, you're going to pull up a nice pelt.
And last week, Friday, I make a hole.
You made a hole?
Hole?
Yeah.
Well, you sank a putt?
I make a hole.
Good. Nice putt.
Putt.
You're clever with the flat stick. All right, see you, Mike.
Yep. It's kind of like Sergio's interview over after that tournament in Dubai, but still wonderful.
Sergio had an interview in Dubai, did he?
Yeah, he got frustrated in a bunker and started throwing clubs. It's kind of odd.
Yeah, it's a bad look on the tour when you're throwing clubs. I suspect they don't like it. Would that be a penalty? You get disqualified?
I don't know. I know Koepka took him to task on the whole thing.
I remember seeing John Daly throw one of his clubs in the water once after a bad drive. You see that?
He would have issues occasionally.
Yeah, they had water on...
Loves the Cardinals, though.
Water, like a giant lake or something on the right, and he hit two or three shots towards a par three, and they both drifted right into the water, and after the third
side of shutdown?
He threw his club into the lake, and there's a guy in a boat there, drove up and picked it up.
I saw Jay Jr. once, he like four-putted a green and just walked over to the edge of the green and threw his putter in the lake.
To go get it or just let
no, it? No, just threw in the lake, middle of the lake. Just
I made a bunch of hoes in my life, B. Thanks. That's from Manchild 79.
I think the funniest was Jay Williamson's caddy got pissed off at him, started throwing all of his balls into the water.
The caddy did?
Yeah.
Why?
They got into an argument. The caddy just reached into his bag and started throwing all of his balls, and I think Jay ended the round with one golf ball left.
Are you allowed to go buy others?
I don't know. In that case, no. If you run out of balls, I don't know if it's the case if your caddy throws them in the water.
Did he fire the caddy on the spot?
Yeah.
And then carried his own bag?
I don't remember if he carried it or he grabbed somebody from the gallery.
That's legal too, just to have anyone standing there carry your clubs?
Yeah. It happened in Tin Cup.
Yeah, I suppose I would have done that if some pro had said, hey, you mind carrying my clubs the rest of the way? I'd say sure.
It's happened more times than you would think.
Really? You got to make sure you pick someone that kind of knows the rules.
Well, if you just need to get through a round, I think players, whether their caddy got sick or happened a couple of weeks ago when one caddy like twisted his ankle and couldn't carry the bag. So the golfer actually carried the bag. And I think the playing partner's caddy double looping that day for like double six looping. Holes. I think it was Scotty Scheffler's caddy actually.
But if you just grab somebody out of the crowd, you don't know that he's might stand in the wrong spot or talk when someone's about to hit or something.
No, I think they tell him just there's only two things a caddy needs to know. Keep up and shut up.
Keep up and shut up.
Yeah.
Is that what the LPGA gal said to you?
The first one did. She goes, yeah, just keep up and shut up.
Okay.
Don't ask me to read that putt because you're going to miss it.
No. Well, Mark Milton can read your taxes and he can read a putt. Didn't he fashion like a 79 one day?
Yeah, I think he's down to like a 1.4.
Is he?
He's hovering around scratch now.
Good golfer, even better accountant.
Wow.
Even better tax attorney. This is what he does. If you've got some problems because maybe you didn't file your tax returns for a few years and now the IRS is catching up with you and they can make all kinds of problems for you. They can garnish your wages. They can do all kinds of nasty stuff. So you need someone in your corner like Mark Milton who has experience in dealing with just that kind of stuff. It's not all he does, of course. Just an individual return, that's great. If you're a business that would like someone to come in and get yourself squared away with taxes from past years, current years, whatever, Mark Milton has got the answers. Here is his website. I'll give that now.
Do it.
STLTaxLawyer.com. Mark Milton and STLTaxLawyer.com provide a local and holistic approach to tax resolution. We've known this guy for several years now, and we can tell you he is absolutely the best.
He is
the greatest.
He really
great
is.
Guy, fantastic tax lawyer. Best in town, and he will take good care of you. If you got any kind of problem, you'll be saying, hey, I'm not guilty. I'm with Milty. STLTaxLawyer.com. Remember, the choice of a lawyer is an important decision and should not be based solely on adverts.
Stratum Structural Systems is a company that we recommend, a company we've also personally done business with. They're a waterproofing and foundation repair company. Think local. Think Stratum. StratumRepair.com, 314-620-8153. They're known for their integrity and their authority with over five decades of combined structural experience in basement waterproofing and foundation repair. There you have a location in Chesterfield, Missouri. They have a location in Columbia, Illinois. And when I was having issues with basement water and I talked to a home builder and I said, who would you go to? They said, oh, we all know that the best company is Stratum. It's just kind of become well known and in our circles, and I'm like, well, then I'm going to call Stratum. Matt Ford, Doug. Matt Ford's his name.
Matt Ford?
He's not the only person running Stratum. I'll make that clear, but that was the name. Talk to him. First class. And now I know a number of our listeners have started doing business with Stratum Structural Systems. Go online at stratumrepair.com or when you call 314-620-8153, let them know you're a Ryan Kelly Morning After listener. You get $100 off your repair project. Think local. It's a local company. Think local. Think Stratum. Stratum Structural Systems. Send your text in at 855-282-8255. And then you can call in because we're doing this thing called the Press Conference Thursday where we're going to open up the phone lines and take calls. Your stories of run-ins with beverage cart girls.
Mm-hmm.
855-282-8255. That's kind of been the theme so far in our calls. Or you can email in for the Design Air Heating and Cooling email today, the morning after at InsideSTL.com. The morning after at InsideSTL.com. Design Air Heating and Cooling online at DesignAirService.com. Whoa, nurse.
Mm. It sounded like someone was setting up some symbols.
No, I'm sorry. I dropped my phone.
That was your phone falling?
Well, I kind of hit it. I can't get DraftKings to load the Wi-Fi.
Oh, I see the table's being set.
I can't get it done.
The Safeway open.
Yeah, this team is, I'm so bad. I got Bud Cauley on my team.
Bud Cauley.
Bud Cauley's not a bad player. Justin Thomas is high on Bud Cauley's abilities, Doug. If you want a little sneaker at like 70, is he at 7,500 this week?
I don't know.
Design Air Heating and Cooling is at 0% APR for 48 months with this 16-SEER train air conditioner that I just had installed in my home. You want to be like me? You ought to shrink.
Good luck.
You ought to shrink and be abrasive. But you can also get a 16-SEER train air conditioner from Design Air Heating and Cooling. Go to designairservice.com, and they'll do it. They did it for me, and it is nice and cool. Oh, I was able to sleep last night. Oh,
were you?
Yeah. It was a big comeback after a couple of bad nights. Big comeback. Didn't fall asleep easily. Don't know why, but stayed asleep. And that was big. That was big, Jack. And I decided, you know what? I know I have a wife and I have a 3-year-old son, but around here, my priority has to be me.
Yourself. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
It has to be. So if my son is freezing, okay. He doesn't have to do a show.
No.
So
toughens him up a little bit.
So I made it nice and cool, and I slept like the tiniest of little babies. Thank you, Seth Goldcamp, for making that possible. And I'll text Anna Marie in a few hours and see how our son's doing. But the bottom line is I feel good, and that's...
Yeah, and if he should catch pneumonia or something, they have meds for that.
Thank you. Thank you. That was my reasoning.
Yeah, you have to be comfortable.
Thank you.
The world revolves around you.
I didn't say it.
Yeah.
DesignAirService.com, the official HVAC provider of the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Seth Goldcamp, taking care of St. Louisans, that Goldcamp family, since 1904. Any heating and cooling issues, go online at designairservice.com. And the Plowhawk is the Postmaster General. It's in the prompter. I read what's in the prompter. The Post Sports Bar and Grill, they are in Maplewood, they are in Fenton, they are in Creve Coeur. Send your emails in for the Design Air Heating and Cooling email today, the morning after at InsideSTL.com, the morning after at InsideSTL.com. And any questions, comments, or erotic stories, T. McKernan at InsideSTL.com. Sounds like Iggy's phone.
He dropped the phone again?
Sounds... No, I got a message.
What do you got?
Just Mark Milton, just bringing in a patio, little couple of side tables that he's getting rid of.
He's bringing in side tables for you?
Yeah, he's getting rid of a bunch of patio stuff, and... He said, "Hey, I saw your patio picture yesterday. I got a couple of side tables I don't need. If you want them, I'll bring them in when I do my podcast."
You're posting patio pictures.
So I said, "Well, yesterday my sister-in-law Michelle bought me a umbrella.
Right on.
Because mine busted during the windstorm. So I took a picture yesterday, and he's got a couple of end tables. He said I'll bring them in when I do my podcast. I said, "Sure, thanks, buddy." So that's what that text was.
Mark Milton, okay. Done. He's a great golfer. He's a great tax lawyer, and he will provide you outdoor furniture.
Yeah, at a reduced rate, apparently.
And before the texts come in, I didn't ask. He just offered.
You think Nate in Tallahassee was going to jump you?
Well, I mean, anytime somebody gives me something, it's because I asked for it. I don't ask for the butt plugs. They just come.
You did an unboxing yesterday. I see we have audio from it. Doug, did you get a chance to see it?
I haven't seen it yet.
We have audio from it, so take a listen to this. Iggy's unboxing.
Wiener cleaner soap. To my special, great, amazing, awesome, cool as a cucumber customer. All right, whoever bought this got this in the mail. It's a wiener cleaner soap. Let me see that. That may fit on my It may be a little small. It says one size fits most. Well, I'm not most. I'm not sure. But I guess it's soap that you just kind of, I mean, large or small or in between, or nothing beats a cleaner wiener. You got that right. I just use regular soap. I never thought about getting a ring where you can just stick that on there and go back and forth. It's going to be a tight fit, but I'll figure it out. Thank you for that. I appreciate that. That's like 5 weeks in a row. It's something related, and it's early. That's number one. So thank you for that.
Doug, that was Iggy's unboxing yesterday with a wiener cleaner?
You don't have to accept the gifts, you know, if they're inappropriate, and that one seemed to be so.
Well, it looks like those weights you put on your bat.
Before. Oh, yeah.
Donut.
That's what it looks like, but it's soap.
Hmm. Okay.
Probably never use it, but...
Probably not the only thing you got, though, was it? You get something better?
Yeah, you got any dildos, bro?
No, I got a nice bottle of McCallum Scotch.
Nice bottle of Scotch.
Wow.
The Hedo pack was basically a bunch of giveaways.
What? Like what they have?
Oh, door tags that have funny sayings on them, like, you know, I can't remember.
Don't come a knocking if the
bands are rocking.
Yeah.
It's awesome. George Carlin wrote those.
Yeah. Come was in a few of them. Come again, and then some other things.
Stifler drank that.
A couple of, I guess they're like Schrongs. Is that what they're called?
Doug, are they called Schrongs?
Schrongs that you put on like at the pool?
Yeah.
Yeah, like 4 or 5 of those. Some women's booty shorts that say hedonism on them.
Nice.
Do they fit you?
I tried them on, but I had tried them on over my pants.
Oh, God. I hope you got a picture of that.
I'm sure it's on the fan page somewhere. I'm sure somebody
Why
screenshot
it. Why would
you
try them on over your britches?
Just so people can see what they look like.
Why didn't you excuse yourself, take off your trousers, and then come back with the booty shorts on?
Well, they're for girls.
That's exactly right.
I'm not sure they would fit me, but I just want the people to get, like, spread it out a little bit so you could see. So that, and I like when people listen to things I say on the air.
Oh, do you?
It's kind of cool when, you know, I say something and they'll remember it, because one of the things, like, I remember when I said that I had a male crush on, man crush on Billy Joe Armstrong.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody sent me a Billy Joe Armstrong poster.
I'm afraid I don't know who that is.
Lead singer of Green Day, baby.
From Green Day. Now, okay. I did say I liked him when he had the black hair and the eyeliner, and this is when he had blonde hair.
Blonde hair was really, was that at the beginning?
Yeah, it was kind of early.
You like a gentleman with black hair and eyeliner?
Well, him I did. He just looks hotter when he had the black hair and the black eyeliner.
I think Anna Marie digs him as well. I think.
So I got that. See, I hate doing it because I know there's things I forgot.
Nurse? Is that my nurse?
Yeah, that's...
What's that?
Facebook message, I think.
Okay.
So I kind of forget things that I... It was only yesterday, but when you got 6-7 things, you kind of forget some of them.
Mm, sure you do. Yeah.
But it was all fun stuff. I appreciate it.
Well, the gifts keep coming in, don't they?
Yeah, a couple more came yesterday. I still have 12, so we're good for 2 weeks if nobody sends me anything else.
Yeah. And now you're getting some patio furniture to boot.
Yeah. Well, my patio table is from a listener who reached out and said, Iggy, I saw your picture of your shattered table. We're moving on the August 28th. I have some stuff I'm not bringing with us. You can have it. So that was nice of him. And then Cletus went and picked it up for me because he has a truck.
That's a treat right there.
Kind of more of a van, but I guess you could call it a truck, kind of a hybrid.
Yeah.
Yeah, he probably has more golf equipment than he does tools for putting in windows.
Well, that'd be a good business, putting in windows. Windows.
He's got a great business. You know. He gets up at like 3, does some windows, and he goes and shaves strokes.
Like he's a 10 now? Is he a 10? I don't know what he is.
I'll look it up.
But I would think it'd be hard to fix windows at like 4 in the morning if places aren't even open yet.
It's the time to do it.
Yeah, it could be indoor jobs.
Well, yeah, how are you going to get inside?
Well, I'm sure he has a key if he's working there.
I don't know that businesses would give you a key to their place just so you can get there at 4 in the morning.
Doug, is your Gen app down?
Is my Gen app down?
Mm.
I don't have
it frozen.
Gen app.
It's frozen.
Oh.
Trying to get Cletus's handicap for him.
Yeah, it's the Wi-Fi, I think, in here because I can't get DraftKings to open either.
Really? I've been perusing Persian Kitty all morning.
Have you?
Yeah. No, yeah, I just pulled up ESPN.com.
Yeah, some of them work and some of them don't.
Huh. That's a bad beat.
That's a bad beat. That's what's really happening is to us right now.
Raptors over the Celtics will have a game 7 in that Eastern Conference semifinal.
We'll have it?
The winner will get Jimmy Butler in the Heat.
Okay.
Meanwhile, it looks like we might see all L.A. in the West. Your thoughts, 855-22.
Well, I haven't watched much. I don't have a team.
If you had to have a team, who would you take? God, I mean, I've got the Lightning in the Stanley Cup playoffs. I've adopted them.
Cletus is 10.7.
Thank you. What's good? So you're able to get it and I can't get it?
Yeah.
Huh. What's all going on?
10.7.
Cletus at 10.7.
I used to like the Celtics a lot with Larry Bird, and I guess now they have Tatum.
So you're going
to
go,
I guess,
Celtics?
It'd be Boston if I had to have a team.
I just like rooting for LeBron.
Lakers, Celtics, the attention of the country. That's what the NBA needs. What if they got Heat clip show? Be a problem.
Mm.
Two big cities, but not two attractive teams.
Well,
Patty Maroon's going to get his name on the chalice back-to-back years.
He may. They're up 2-0. See, they scored last night with 7 seconds to go to win.
Saw young Pageview's buddy, Frankie Borelli. They were doing a live feed of him and his dad watching the game, and his dad picked up a chair and threw it on him after the goal. They're both Islanders fans.
Oh. I wonder how much New Yorkers get into the Islanders. I guess they do.
Is it a Long Island adopted team? Like if you live in Manhattan, you're not into the Islanders, you're into the Rangers, but if you live on Long Island, you're Islander all day long?
I don't know. I would think you could root for both, couldn't you?
Like now that the Nets, I mean, if you were in New Jersey fan, and you're provincial to New Jersey, are you now anti-Nets now that they're Brooklyn?
Probably not.
I know we have a lot of listeners in Brooklyn with the...
A lot of them, yeah.
Well, because of the sheet store.
Yeah. And we had
so
Bruce.
If you could call in. Oh,
we,
yeah,
we
Bruce.
We got duped by Bruce for a while. I wouldn't... I think if you're in New Jersey, you'd be close enough to Brooklyn. That would still feel like your team. All the games would be on and everything.
Jennings just texted me, Cletus 10.7, WTF.
What, he doesn't believe that? Thinks he's better than that or not that good?
I think he's better than that. I know this, whenever I'm out there playing with Cletus, I don't have to give him pops. Even though I guess theoretically we have a big gap between our numbers. But maybe that's, he just likes the challenge. I don't know.
I don't know either.
Doug, let me tell you something. Around the green with a 56-degree wedge, I don't know if there's anybody in the game's history, maybe Seve Ballesteros, that I would rather have than Cletus.
Really?
He has...
That's better than a PGA play, tour player.
Supple touch around the green.
But doesn't he have supple touch?
Supple touch.
And sometimes a supple touch after the game has been played. Or after a shot has
after
been
a
hit.
Shot, sure. Right.
Yeah, boy, what he did to Plowsy should happen to no man.
Plowsy seemed like he enjoyed it.
He did. Yeah, I just wonder if he had gotten Plowsy drunk or what.
I think there was tongue.
Oh.
He's kissed a lot of men.
Doug, Cam, and Andy say Islander fans are loyal. Thanks. That's from Big Mike.
Well, I'm sure they are. I just think if I lived in New York and I loved hockey, I could be both a Ranger fan and an Islander fan, couldn't you? Or you'd have to pick one.
I think it kind of usually... is a pick one, but of course it's not across the board. I remember there was a year, God, I don't even know what year it was, because they've been in the NCAA tournament so few times over the last 9 seasons, but it might have been the year where Missouri lost to Norfolk State in 2012, but the Billikens were in the tournament as well, and I was like, well, that, you know, obviously sucks. You're number 2 seed. You just won the Big 8 tournament, Big 12 tournament, and you're about to go to the SEC. High hopes. And I'm like, all right, well, I'll pull for the Billikens. And I had some Mizzou people pissed at me. And I'm like, why? You can't cheer for both. And I go, well, I don't know what to say. I am. And yeah. I can. And I want both to win. Now, yeah. I guess if they both were to play, I would pull for Missouri. I know when they'd had that series of games in the early 2000s, I pulled for Missouri.
Those were fun games.
Right. Wesley Stokes.
They need to do it again with both programs looking to bolster their fan bases. Put more fans in the crowd.
I kind of like to see Arkansas Pine Bluff come to Columbia.
I don't.
Okay.
I'd like to see a home and home every year. Every year.
I think with a smaller city, I mean, when you get to a big city, I guarantee you there's not a ton of people that vote, that root for the White Sox and the Cubs, that, you know,
I think
root
you
for
could.
The Yankees and the Mets.
Well,
it's usually
leagues,
one or the other.
But different leagues. You
well, I know, but still. It's a bigger city, so depending on what side of the city you live on.
Yeah, maybe so.
North side, south side. I'm not saying they don't, but I guarantee there's not a ton of people say, yeah, I love both my teams. Yeah, one or the other.
I used to root for both the Cardinals and the Browns. Roy Sievers would have a big year for the Browns. Man, that was fun.
Were you born when they were still here?
No.
How were you rooting for them?
Well, kind of a retroactive situation. I didn't know where to go in 1944 when they played in the World Series. That was tough on me.
What'd they call that series?
Streetcar. Streetcar series.
Tim, your wife likes Billy Joe Armstrong, and he's shorter than you are. Maybe you need to go to China and get surgery that decreases the length of your legs. Thanks. That's from Manute Bull Eligible. Yeah, definitely not usually attracted to shorter gentlemen. I guess me and Billy Joe Armstrong would be in that case. And he's bi, right?
I don't know.
So that's also something we have in common. My mom, we were over there for my dad's birthday this past weekend, whole family, my brothers and sister and all the grandkids.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what she's doing. She's cleaning out all of our stuff. I still have my baseball cards from the 1980s, though. I don't have the story of mom throwing out the baseball cards, so I still got those. I just don't know if they're worth anything, though. Like you would hear stories from like kids in the 50s, and they would have these cards. And be like, what's my Gary Sheffield future star going to be worth on the open market? I don't know if I'm really going to get much out of that.
I still have some of my old ones, too. But
what do you got in there, bro?
Oh, I got some Mickey Mantle and Willie Mays, but they're not in perfect condition. Usually they have to be in like pristine condition, like right out of the box in order for them to really be worth it.
Why don't you bring them in tomorrow? Let's take a look.
Don't tell me what to bring in and don't tell me what to look at.
Why don't you do an unboxing?
I would love to see them. I love old baseball cards.
Supposedly they're making a bit of a comeback.
No, right. I
was talking to one of my kids' friends the other day. He said he and another guy go to the stores, and as soon as the new box of baseball cards gets delivered and goes for sale, they buy them all up. They buy all of them. And that there is some market for them again. Because it really dried out a few years ago. It dried up. The market just hit rock bottom on baseball cards. Not so much the, you know, the old ones, the, you know, the old Roger, Hannes Wagner, Roger Hornsby stuff from way back when. That's still valuable. But the ones they've been making the last 20 or 30 years, I guess, not so much.
Do you like Fleer and Upper Deck?
I didn't care. But I think that's part of the problem is that several companies started making cards, and so there was the market was flooded with
them. Eric in the Central West End says the baseball market, card market is hot again. It's as hot as it's been a long time. Maybe I'm sitting on something there.
Yeah, I've heard that.
So maybe I can get that place in Jupiter just with what's in my closet. And I'm not talking about my strap-on.
Oh.
I've got like 30 boxes in my trunk.
Of baseball cards?
Baseball and hockey, 94, 95, Upper Deck.
Guess I got to go over and get them. But anyway, the reason I bring it up is there were some pictures of like high school pictures. So Anna Marie saw me with hair for the first time really ever. Because when I was what has been described as the biggest television star in St. Louis history.
You were, no doubt.
Thank you. From 2000 through 2005, I think she was in high school. So probably wasn't watching local news. Although I think that's kind of a denial thing because I bet all of her friends would gather around and go, oh, it's Saturday Night Sportscast on Channel 4. We got to watch. And it would be like hot for them, you know, like New Kids on the Block, 98 Degrees type thing. I was the fan of all the cute boys and girls.
Mm-hmm.
And I go, God, I don't even feel like I look like myself. And it doesn't even have, it's not, it has nothing to do with the hair. I don't know what's going on. But I had thick, luscious hair.
You did?
I did.
Luscious would be the key word.
Luscious. And then then there was a picture from like my sophomore year at the University of Missouri. I think it was my first term as Sigma Chi Rush chairman. I was a two-termer, as you know. Very proud of that.
Yeah.
And we had great years, really pivoted from public schools to private schools, and that was just a coincidence as far as our recruiting.
So you could charge the kids a little bit more, and their parents were used to it?
Just strictly a coincidence. It had nothing to do with prejudging. And she goes, oh, I notice you're starting to recede right there. And I go, yeah, that's a good read. That's like a nice read. But she paid me a compliment. She said, you know what?
What?
You're better looking now than you were then.
Who said this?
My wife. I was kind of surprised by it.
Had she had LASIK surgery or anything?
It's offensive.
You know, they can do some great things with it.
Well, I'm going to China to get the height thing. I think we're going to do that around.
While you're there, you might as well get the laser eye surgery for her.
But I
can't. No, but I'm sure she's just a dandy gal. I'm sure she says all the...
You know her.
Yes. I'm sure she says all the right things to you.
But that's the thing. I don't know. I don't know if it was sincere. I can't imagine it was.
I wouldn't think that it was, no.
Because...
What's she supposed to say?
Well, I mean, I didn't say, hey, I'm better looking now, because I would think most women would prefer a gentleman with a full head of hair. And I had luscious locks.
Yeah. It's bushy.
Yeah. I mean, like when they pan the crowd at an Alabama or an Auburn game, that kind of hair. You know what I mean?
Kind of a mullet thing?
No. In the lower bowl.
Oh, okay.
You know, like the Bama bangs.
Right. You had Blagojevich type hair?
Yeah, actually.
Yeah. Man, that gentleman has a wonderful head of hair.
And he's in his 60s now. I was like 18.
Mm. He still had it when he got out of jail, too.
Just was gray.
Yes. Yeah.
Not only had.
What did that mean?
Sure he had some aches and pains.
Oh.
You think he took the high hard one?
Oh, at some point everybody does, don't they?
Really? Like, well then who are the tops?
I mean, the newbies are always getting banged, aren't they?
Is that what goes on, honestly?
I've been in jail once. I've never been in prison. I don't know.
Were you banged?
No, it was just a cell by myself. overnight thing.
Anyone offer you a cigarette?
No, I had some nice scrambled eggs in the morning, though.
Boy, that doesn't sound good.
I said, do you have any bacon with this?
Some jailhouse
guard.
Kind of
a joint you running here.
Some jailhouse guard has to get up and make you scrambled eggs because you wound up in jail the night before. I wouldn't like that job.
That's a Clay Morgan's thing. I got to spend the night overnight.
Oh, that's right.
And then in Bermuda, I was there for a night, too.
What'd you do there?
I just stumbled into a house drunk, thinking there was a party. And
oh, that's right. Wrong house.
Guy said I was breaking and entering. I said, well, your door was wide open and your music's blasting, dumbass.
Oh, it was his fault. It was his fault that you stumbled into his home.
Well, it wasn't my fault.
Why wouldn't it be your fault?
Well, there was no breaking and entering. The door was open and there was music blasting. Well, I was told there was a party down there.
Whether the door was locked or not, you do not have the right to walk into someone else's home.
It was an honest mistake. Somebody told me there's a party down at the Reefs. I went in there. What are you doing in here? I heard there was a party in here. There's no party in here. Okay. I turned and left.
And he called the police at that point?
No, he saw me. He was so frightened, they said, that he had to move out of there and move into the Sonesta Beach Hotel. So He happened to be walking up from the pool, and he saw me in the greenhouse where I worked, the restaurant, and noticed me and then went and got somebody. A couple of cops came and said, he said, you did this, blah, blah, blah. I said, ah. They didn't do anything. The next day, the cops came to my house. I just got back from the beach. I was out on my patio. They started asking me all these questions. I said, yeah, I already answered all these. Honest mistake. He goes, yeah, we don't believe you. We're taking you in.
They thought you were there to rob the place?
I don't know. They said there were some break-ins down there before, so.
Probably.
I said, well, anyway, so I had to spend the night in jail.
Well, I'm sorry that happened to you, because it doesn't sound like it's your fault at all.
No, nothing came of it. I spent a lot of time doing nothing and then let me go.
You're probably lucky you didn't get shot.
No, this guy was, he said, my two girlfriends weren't here. I said, this guy's not dating anybody. Listen to him.
And that didn't play with the police?
I said, there's a lie right there. Anyway, I wasn't worried. I didn't do anything wrong.
Except that you walked into another gentleman's home.
Right.
I didn't take anything.
It could have been an honest mistake, of course.
It was.
Probably was, yeah.
I didn't take anything.
But still, you can make an honest mistake and still get in trouble for it.
And I was drunk. That's no excuse either.
No. That's probably why they didn't believe you.
Well, anyway, I told him where I was before. I said, I talked to the bartender. He's the one who told me about a party. And they went and talked to him. He said, yeah, I said that. So everything I told him was true. They still just wanted to F with me. A foreigner.
Doug, if you're waking up and you see water in your basement from overnight, it should hit you like a bolt of lightning on who to call. That
usually
bolt of
does.
Lightning is Restoration One of Central St. Louis. 314-888-5266. Water damage is hard. Water damage is difficult. But oftentimes, on the opposite side of water damage is a golden goose.
Yeah.
That golden goose is Restoration One of Central St. Louis. 314-888-5266. They know how they're going to do it, and they do believe in it. This is no shishawali operation. Professionally trained and certified staff who will save the day when your home is wet. 314-888-5266. And remember, Blues Netminder Daddy Padre is a client.
He's not a netminder.
It's like an
Blues
endorsement. It's Restoration One of Central St. Louis. The first call you should make when your home is wet. 314-888-5266. Any damage to your home, Restoration One. I've used them, and therefore I can wholeheartedly recommend them to our audience. Send your emails in for the Design Air Heating and Cooling. Email today, the morning after at InsideSTL.com. It comes your way at approximately 9:50 on the GFI Digital Captain's Log. Tim McKernan, Doug Vaughn with you. This is the Ryan Kelly Morning After on 590 The Fan KFNS and InsideSTL.